Hello and welcome to Glitchy Switch, the podcast all about what it feels like discovering you have ADHD as an adult. My name is Martin and I believe that no one deserves to live in shame in a world not designed for them. So in each episode, I'll pick off the kind of questions that go through your mind on the journey from curiosity to diagnosis. Whether you're on your own journey or supporting someone who is, I hope my own experiences might just help you. I know what it's like to have a busy life and a busy mind, so each episode lasts about as long as a cup of coffee, so you can easily fit it in and enjoy without draining too much energy. Today, I'm going to talk a bit more about ADHD in the context of friendships. One of the first things that started to dawn on me when I began to read about the ADHD traits was the influence it had had on my relationships, for better or for worse. Like many of the ADHD traits, the ones I'm going to talk about today have positive and negative aspects. In the one direction, there are things to manage, but in the other, I think they can be real differentiators in terms of how we show up for our friends. This is actually the second go I've had at this episode. The first draft saw me mainly talk about the challenges and then try and summarise the good right at the end. Kind of as well as being a bit negative when put all together, I felt actually I'd been kind of overly hard on myself. And in the spirit of balance, I thought I'd take a slightly different tack. So back to the drawing board I went. And what I'm now going to do is go through the same topic, but in terms of the traits, and highlight how I think they've worked for and against me in friendships over the years. One thing I do want to be honest with you about, and I've been pretty honest with you so far, is that friendships, as well as being a great joy, have also been a major source of anxiety and stress to me over the years. And if I'm honest, still are. Diagnosis was a major help, and I've learned sort of coping strategies, like everyone does, largely out of fear of driving people away. But those ways of getting by for many, many years largely involved turning the sort of stress and worry inwards until some reassurance presented itself and relief set in. And that, I think, got me in quite a lot of sort of stress and anxiety trouble. Hopefully those days are behind me now anyway. Anyway, the first thing to say about ADHD and friendships is that they are plentiful sources of dopamine, particularly at the outset. We all recognise the joy of connecting with someone either like-minded or someone that simply just is able to, you know, get you and you them. As an ADHD person craving dopamine, you really just can't get enough of that hit, and your ADHD buddy will quickly become amongst the most enthused people in your circle. I think this is why I've always been able to form relationships quickly with many people that I've worked with. The challenge is this craving and then hit of dopamine combines with how we also find it difficult to manage impulses. This means that you're often working overtime not to ruin a good thing at the very, very beginning. My natural instinct is to love bomb, which, if you're familiar, is where when you meet someone new, you either want to chat to them like all the time, or when they're not there, talk about them, literally just like chasing just a little bit of that first high when you connected. Now, sometimes when you're on the same page, and that's great, and possibly a reason why ADHD people tend to flock together, as I've mentioned before, to the poor neurotypical or just plain reserved person, this can be really quite overwhelming. It can also annoy people if you're constantly talking about that new person that you've met. I've actually managed to learn this at quite a young age, which kind of helped, but it's something that I still wrestle with all the time. And I have almost constant anxiety about, I don't know, messengering or WhatsApping or Slacking someone I am getting to know just that little bit too much and putting them off, basically. Friendships tend to burn brightly and fast with everything that brings, you might say. Assuming we've made it safely through those early exchanges, another more general variation on the same theme is a compulsion to take any good moment and relive it incessantly. That anecdote I told you that you laughed at, or that anecdote you told and we both laughed at, or that comedy sketch on TV we both agreed was funny, are all things I feel a constant compulsion to relive. Again, that can be great because the hit was so good, it's burned on my memory so that we can relive it later on. It can wear thin, however. When I was a teenager, I can remember my mates eye-rolling at the umpteenth repetition of one of the in-jokes we'd had But, you know, the moment had long since passed. To be honest, I think that's where my sensitivity to rejection, which is also an ADHD thing that we've talked about before, actually probably worked for me, because it hurt so much that I'd caused my friends to react like that, that I just kind of learned to suppress it. That in itself was a cause of a lot of shame, because I just felt like an idiot and a terrible friend and, you know, socially inept and all of those negative things that we can say to ourselves sometimes. Similarly, one of the ADHD traits that's very common is a compulsion to interrupt people. I'd always been told that doing so was rude when I was little, and it's something I try really hard to temper, but I can't deny it's an urge that's definitely there. It's a particular struggle when you're learning something new about someone or something and realize that you've got something in common, because you get kind of like an explosion of enthusiasm inside. I'm not exaggerating. That is like genuinely what it feels like, where you just can't wait to tell the other person. Now, this can often be misread for the ADHD person, you know, trying to make it all about them. I've done that air quotes thing, but you probably can't see it. But it's often not that at all. It's not usually about grabbing the limelight or taking the attention. It's the rush of reward you get in finding out that the person that you're with has something in common with you. It's much more about being desperate to close that circuit of shared experience. So if you can, for me, give your ADHD buddies a bit of leeway when they do that. Often you'll see they've moderated it to not saying anything, but their face, you'll see like this kind of ecstatic look, and they don't know what to do with their eyes and mouth and face when you've said something. So please take that as a compliment. Talking a lot is probably something you'd think of more typically for someone with hyperactivity in their nature. Again, usually this is just being absolutely desperate to show you just how connected we are. In our defense, this is really just us being extremely enthusiastic that you're in our lives, which again, in moderation, is actually, I think, a lovely thing to have someone feel about you. Well, I think it is anyway. Hopefully you do as well. After the sort of dopamine deficit aspects of ADHD, you might say, the second important aspect is sensitivity, which again can be a wonderful thing to have a natural strength in. As well as wargaming things that affect me, my overthinking brain will be thinking about you too and things that might help you or just whether you're doing okay. People have told me I'm good to talk to because of that sensitivity as well. And I'm always honoured when people let me into their own inner hopes, dreams and worries. Sensitivity works two ways though, and as I've touched on it already, ADHD people can be very, very sensitive to perceived rejection, thanks to something known as rejection sensitive dysphoria, RSD. I say perceived, and this is really, really important, because it's not even actual rejection that can trigger the anxiety. Even if your ADHD buddy thinks you may have rejected them or, you know, they've upset you, it feels as real to them as if you actually had, or they had actually upset you. This, combined with the fact that you're wired for overthinking because of your hyperactive brain, means that you're worrying about the state of your friendship a lot. And the slightest wrong move on your part will bring the sky sort of crashing in. I think when I was a teenager, I kind of went through a phase of trying to sort of style this out a bit with some bravado by sort of being one of the noisier ones in the group and kind of getting on the front foot, which I was ultimately hopeless at. So that worked out about as well as you can imagine. But it was all coming from a place of being sort of desperately afraid of ending up on my own and almost trying to sort of seize the agenda. I soon learned, but again, all of that stress kind of had to go somewhere, and it largely went deeper inside where it turned into more stress and anxiety. Now, that was a long time ago, and I've gradually grown more comfortable, but particularly in new friendships or those with people I'm close to. You know, stupid things like a text that's long gone unreplied, or worse, red, you know, those kind of blue ticks on WhatsApp and things like that, but not answered, still gives me kind of a pang inside, no matter how much, you know, I can kind of tell myself I'm pathetic, or, you know, try not to do that stuff. But even, you know, the sort of CBT tricks of challenging the belief about what that means. You know all of the logic, you know people are busy, and you know it's not at all reasonable in objective terms to feel the way you do, but you still kind of get those pangs. You can see where the kind of shame comes from now. Perhaps ironically, I'm also ADHD typical in that I am pretty forgetful. No, I mean, I'm extremely forgetful. So if we've not spoken for a while or I miss a text, I promise you, it's not that I don't care. It may well be, and again, this is fairly common, that I think I did reply because I meant to, but forgot that, and I actually just got distracted when I was supposed to be doing it. So my brain thinks I have, but I didn't do it. It's actually now why I started using reminders more on my phone, or at least as, you know, religiously as my brain allows me to these days after my diagnosis, because I finally started to own that and do something about it. I think for a long, long time, I kind of either denied it or I would overthink even more, trying to make sure that I didn't drop a ball ever with anyone. And I just kind of burned myself out really by doing that. I still worry constantly about whether I've said the wrong thing. And I mean it on a daily, hourly basis. I talked a couple of episodes ago about cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, and I would say that's probably what I use it for most, actually. If there's any element of doubt left unchecked, I will worry myself silly and often continue to even after I've been reassured. Like I say, I work hard on it with CBT and I've got much, much better. But inside, it's still work I'm having to do just to show up remotely normally and not make people think I'm completely bonkers. The upside to all of this, of course, there is an upside, don't worry, is that I doubt many people will work so hard at simply trying to turn up for you as best they can. So again, in moderation, I think on the whole, that's a good thing. The third and final major trait that I wanted to point to is being a divergent thinker, which is a common ADHD thing. I've always been able to make people laugh, and I'm quick with humour, which is, I think, a combination of probably my brain spinning fast and kind of going off in these unusual directions. There's actually a good few ADHD sort of stand-up comics out there. So I wonder if there's something in that. Not that I'm saying I'm a comedian of that course or by any sort of stretch of the imagination. I also have a bit of a thing about, should we say, florid language, which is a combination of one of my hyper-focuses being language and linguistics. I was into all of that stuff at school and really enjoyed the technicality of it, but I tend to remember quite sort of long-winded, unusual ways of saying things, and I quite like the fun of using them, and people kind of laugh at it and I think slightly marvel at, which I think for the most part they find endearing. Incidentally, my working memory may be crap, so I can't remember the shopping or where my keys are, but I can remember a joke that we laughed at in the second year of middle school when we were 10. That's actually true, my friend Christian, if you're listening out there somewhere. So I'm usually a bit of a treasure trove of obscure memories everyone else has sort of binned many years ago. This does mean you end up being a bit kind of random, and that can feel a bit isolating. And if I feel I've come over as a bit odd, I tend to go quiet and go within myself, which is, I guess, our old friend RSD again. If I'm going quiet and withdrawn in a kind of a group context, there's usually something up, it's suffice to say. The one thing I would say, sort of bringing things back round, is I am really grateful for the breadth and diversity of my friendship group, which I think is down to, you know, the combined traits of my ADHD. When I look at the various different circles of friends, I see such a diverse range of people that play a meaningful part in my life that to whatever degree ADHD has impacted my relationships, I genuinely don't think I would change anything, because everything I learned the hard way when I was younger, I've really tried to learn and think about. The overthinking has made me think very, very hard about this stuff. That so many people who have known me since I was small still greet me fondly. I don't see many people kind of cross the road to avoid me anyway. Tells me that I can't actually have been that bad a friend to be around. If you're listening and you're a friend of mine, I hope I haven't been too difficult to live with over the years. And I do thank you for persevering with me. Anyway, that's relationships and friendships for a while. thinking about what to do next. I think we might do another career one next. And I'm recording this the day after I did a panel session talking about neurodiversity at work. So I think we'll talk next time something about what it's like to work for very, very big companies as an ADHD person. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. You can get in touch via glitchyswitchpodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts and suggestions of things you'd like to hear about. You can also follow me on @glitchyswitchpodcast on Instagram for more on ADHD life and to find out what's coming next.